What if we automated 60 million jobs and it was a good thing for workers? From APM in Oakland, California, I'm Molly Wood in for Ben Johnson. This is Marketplace Tech. And this is the sound of a sewing machine at a garment factory in Hyderabad in southern India. But this is a low-tech machine. When we talk about fully automating jobs, we often think it's bad for workers. But the garment industry is known for tough hours and sometimes terrible, even dangerous conditions. Could automation be better for workers after all? Ankita Rao wrote about this for Motherboard. She recorded that sound you heard in Hyderabad. Ankita, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks so much, Molly.
What was your experience in terms of sort of how hard these jobs are, how bad they are?
So the garment factories I visited were actually pretty well run in terms of, you know, these were obviously very busy enterprises, but these were not the ones, say, like the one in Bangladesh, where you had thousands and thousands of people crammed into a room. But even so, even in the most well-run of these garment factories, there's still no air conditioning. There's still people standing on their feet, you know, hours and hours every day. People get injuries very regularly.
Enter tech companies like SoBots and SoBo that are working to sort of bring automation into this process. What are they working on?
They are coming up with different machinery and robotics that actually, they can't do end-to-end processing. You can't just sort of say, here's the exact shirt I want, but they pick up a majority of the labor in terms of sewing and hemming. You don't need a person to be feeding cloth into a machine like you do now.
This seems so fraught because you write that 60 to 75 million people are employed in the garment industry. And yet it also seems clear that automating some of that process could help people not have terrible working environments. What is the tension here around automating something that employs so many people but often employs them in terrible conditions?
This is kind of the prime area where automation could make sense, but only if the economic model for making clothes is fixed first. We would have to make some substantial changes before we just throw robots into the mix.
In your piece, too, you talk about this vision for the garment industry where you could have lots of small local manufacturing where humans and robots work together. How likely is that?
I mean, I think we've seen some experiments, right? Like we've seen American Apparel, which did not work so well. And I think the problem is that very few consumers are willing to pay that price. If we collectively decide it's better to have things made locally, either people will have to be able to pay $200 for a t-shirt, or we have to have this sort of mix of human and machinery where it actually makes sense to do that. I think it makes more sense to focus on how do we make sure this benefits people than how do we just let it happen.
Ankita Rao is the author of a piece of Motherboard looking at the automation of the garment industry. Ankita, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
Hi, it's Ben Brock Johnson. Marketplace is in the final week of fundraising before our books slam closed for the year. We are asking you to step up and help support us today so we can continue our in-depth, independent economic coverage, the kind you rely on. Any amount, even a small donation each month counts. We appreciate your support. Give today at marketplace.org/donate.
Big couple of days in the food world. Amazon, of course, bidding for Whole Foods, planning to expand its food delivery options. And meal kit service Blue Apron kicked off its IPO roadshow. It's valuing itself at $3.2 billion, despite having never turned a profit. I recently caught up with Barbara Martin Coppola, formerly of Google, and now chief marketing officer at restaurant ordering service Grubhub. That was before Amazon made its Whole Foods move, and even then I asked her if the food delivery space was feeling a little bit crowded.
The competition has come because there's a lot to conquer in the space. So there is a stat that is pretty outstanding, which is 90% of people that order delivery do it on the phone calling the restaurant.
Really? Still?
Still is pretty incredible. People have their top three choices. They call on the phone and they get the food delivered. So the opportunity that this $200 billion market represents is incredible.
What are some of the other challenges in growing your business?
It's the equilibrium of demand coming from users, the restaurant variety and density that we offer, plus having enough drivers to be able to deliver the food. And so at all times, we need all this data to be in conjunction so that we are able to deliver the experience in a certain amount of time. And the second challenge is how we can use data and algorithms to serve a personalized experience to each one of our almost 9 million users.
What is sort of the worst fear scenario? Like if you, when you hear that Amazon is coming in with Amazon restaurants and a treasure trove of data and a pretty good track record with machine learning and maybe drones for delivery, you know, do you think, okay, we got to kick it into gear?
It doesn't trigger fear. It triggers excitement and opportunity. It triggers more education for people in this country around delivery, and it triggers more attention to the industry overall. It's I'm hopeful they're welcome in the space. It makes us be, you know, even more fighting and exciting.
Do you feel like companies like Amazon or new companies that are trying to sort of swoop in are going to find that it's harder than they thought?
I am positive they will. And we are seeing many examples, actually, of competitors finding that what worked in a different use case actually is not applicable to food.
Barbara, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
That was Barbara Martin-Coppola, Chief Marketing Officer at Grubhub. And I am Molly Wood. That's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.